talked last week about Jesus meeting the woman at the well, and we said because of the hope that was inside of him, he transformed her life. And as he transformed her life, she went and then transformed the whole village. Because here's the goodness of God. Once you meet with him, once you've spent some time with him, he transforms your life. And he transforms it to such an extent, you can't keep it to yourself. Ever find that? You just can't keep it to yourself. And if you try to, you're going to do yourself a disjustice and a disservice, because there is light inside of you. There is hope inside of you that must get out. So I want to continue it for another few moments this morning. And we said that last week, the hope of the world was Jesus. And then he said at the end of it, I've got to go, but you're going to become the light of the world. You're going to become the hope of the world. And this morning, I want to take a few moments, and the Lord's already been doing it, to tell us that hope overflows in your life. That hope as Christians should overflow in our lives. I want to encourage you this morning that if you're having a bit of a lack of hope, that God wants to restore that hope this morning. If you're finding yourself a bit low on hope this morning, then God wants to top you up. Anybody needing a top up of hope this morning? Maybe you're needing that. Because hope will transform the world. Love, joy, peace, the hope of God will transform the world. As I was preparing the message this morning, let me tell you a funny story. I thought about top ups. Anybody remember years ago when you had to top up your mobile phone and you had to go and you'd buy the card in the shop? And for those that don't remember, those that weren't born enough to know, you would go to the shop and they would say to you, oh, what do you want? And you'd say Orange or BT Cellnet or some of those companies that half of them don't even exist. And they would say to you, well, how much do you want? And you'd say to yourself, well, maybe go for a 10 or 20. I'll go for a 20. And you'd get a £20 top up. You would take it out to the car. And you remember what you had to do? You had to break it out of the packaging. You had to flip it over to the other side. You had to scratch it off like a scratch card. You get this 16-digit code, and then you had to type it in meticulously into your phone. And if you got it right, bingo, you had £20 credit on your phone. And you felt like, oh, I feel rich. I feel like this thing's going to work now. You see, the difference today is that your phone works without credit or not because of internet and all the fancy things that it does. But back then, I'm making myself sound so old. I was about 3 at the time. But only joking. But phones didn't do anything back then. They didn't even look good. You know, they were kind of big, or they did flippy things and all sorts of stuff. You had a Matrix phone, maybe, and they were green screened. And the only thing that phone did apart from phoning was play Snake. Anybody remember that? It played Snake. That was about the only thing that it did. So when your phone had no credit, all you could do with that thing was play Snake. And so as a result, when your phone had no credit, it was pretty much useless. It couldn't do anything. It couldn't connect to anyone. You couldn't call anyone. You couldn't do anything with it. It was good for nothing. You just threw it in your car and forgot about it. Because without the credit, without the top up, it didn't do what it was supposed to do. I want to encourage you this morning, without a top-up, a continuous top-up of the Holy Spirit and his hope, we cannot do what we're supposed to do. Because us as Christians, by default, this is what should happen. As we walk around, it's just hope overflowing from us. It's just hope abounding from us. And everywhere we go, people go, why are you so happy? You know, like, why are you smiling? You know, like, why does it look like there's something different inside of you than it is in me? Because something's just overflowing from our hearts. Here's what I have found. If we're not careful, we start to blend far too much. We start to fade in too much. And people have a hard time distinguishing, who are you really? They can't tell because you're only a tiny bit different. I want to encourage you this morning. If you need a top up of hope, God wants to do that this morning. God wants to top you up to what level? So that you will shine so bright, you'll be like a lighthouse leading lost ships into a safe berth. That is what God's heart is for every believer. That is what his heart is for you as a believer in Christ, as a son and daughter in him. He wants you to shine bright. He wants you to overflow with the goodness of God, with the hope of God, with the love of God, with the grace of God. And he knows that you can't do it by yourself, but he knows through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will overflow. So that's what we're going to think about this morning. So without the top up, the phone was useless. But here's what I realized as well as I started to think back to the old phone days. My granddad used to have a phone. Let me tell you a funny story about him. He had a phone too because he wanted to be cool. So he got this phone. He didn't need the phone. He's about 80. Didn't need this phone, but he thought, well, if I'm out and about, I might need the phone. So he had it and he put his credit in. But do you remember back when you put the top up in? Everything caused the top up to run out. Like if you phoned someone that didn't answer, it seemed to take about £2. If you phoned voicemail and you forgot to hang up, it would run your whole money out. This is what he did all of the time. So he would phone me. He only had about two numbers, my number, my mom's number. That was about it. And so he would phone us, and we would try to ignore him because it's just like, what's he going to say other than come help me? And you're like, I'm working, you know, leave me alone. So as down at university, he would phone me all the time. And back then, because your phones didn't do anything bar phoning. Imagine that. Phones only phoned. That's all they really did. Camera was useless. Didn't do anything else much better than that. So you wouldn't take your phone with you all the time. You'd maybe throw it in your bag, get it later on. You'd maybe leave it in your car. But maybe you remember this. Sometimes you'd pick up your phone, you go, oh, voicemail. And then you would see 4 minutes long. You would know, that's not a true voicemail. He's just forgot to hang up. So what would happen is he would get the £10 credit on his phone, and with about 2 voicemails to me, all his money was gone. And what I find is, if we're not careful, not only can we our money be running out, but we are constantly running out. We're constantly on empty. We're constantly finding ourselves, I don't know what to do. And God says this morning, not only have I got, can I top you up? Not only can you have hope, but you can have hope that overflows. You can have hope that overflows. I want to read it this morning to you. This is what it says in Romans 15, 13. Very near the end of Romans. We only got a couple of chapters to go, 15, 16, and then we're out of it. But it says this in Romans 15, Paul writes it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You may abound in hope. Can I tell you what that word abound means? It's like, let me tell you this one. We went to Tenerife. Imagine this. We're in Tenerife. The girls are there. The girls love Tenerife. We go to this water park. You've maybe been there. And it's this big water park. Now, in the middle of the water park, and there's this kids' play area. And it's all just, you know, shooting water everywhere from the guns, from the jets, everything. You're just getting covered in water all the time. Kids love it. But right in the middle of it, there's this huge bucket that I don't know many hundreds of liters it holds. But it fills gradually. And what all the kids are waiting for is for this bucket to dump. And it just like, shoom, you just can't even see the kids when they get covered in water. You're just grateful when you see them a second or two later because you think they're going to get washed away. This morning, I want you to think of that when you think of the word abound. This is what the Lord wants to give us when it comes to hope. He wants to have so much hope. It's like we're getting drowned in this thing. It's like you can't even see us any longer. All you see is just hope, 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 hope. It's just like, boom. All over our lives. This is the hope that God has planned for us. Did you know that that word abound is simply the word abundance? We read it last week. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life to the full, or life to all abundance. I've come to give you life that abounds. I've come to give you life that it's unfair. It's like everybody else will look at you and go, I can't believe you have this life. I can't believe there's something like that going on in your heart. I can't believe the joy that's in you. I can't believe the grace that you've got. This is what God has intended for us. Now I'll ask you the question, anybody needing a joy top up? Anybody needing a hope top up? Because I would suggest that maybe you're not there quite yet, or maybe you find yourself lacking in that, but God says, that's where I want you to be. That's where I want you to be. Now let me ask a really important question. Why is it not like that in your life? Why is it not like that in my life? Am I even saved? You know what I mean? Am I even saved? Jesus, what is going on? Do you not love me? Do you not like me? That is what I want. Can I suggest this morning that we need to encourage ourselves with a couple of quick things, which is there is bad things happening in the world all of the time. And so that is not usually what affects us, because here's what I have found. When bad things aren't happening to us, we're probably okay. We're probably not that bad. You know what? Our hope's not too bad. It's kind of there. It's like, yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, how's everything going? Doing pretty good. You know what I mean? Looking forward to this new job, looking forward to Christmas, that kind of stuff. It's just kind of semi-normal. But here's when the problem really gets sticky, is when the bad things happen to you. And you go, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And it feels then like we've got no hope. It feels like if we're in that situation, we can become hopeless. And here's what I find, is because when we start to live like that, suddenly we start to associate our hope with our circumstances. Suddenly we start to associate our hope with what we see or what we don't see, about the letter that just came or the letter that hasn't come, about the job that we got or didn't get, and suddenly everything about our hope becomes circumstantial. It becomes what happens, what takes place, what hasn't happened, what hasn't taken place. Can I encourage you this morning to remind you what our hope really is? Our hope is a person. Our hope is Jesus. Can I remind you what he said on the cross after it was done? He said, it is finished. Can I encourage you this morning that your hope is complete? Can I encourage you this morning that the hope that the world has is a hope that's still to come? It's a hope that says, I wonder, will it work out? I wonder, will it rain next week? I wonder, will I get that pay rise? I wonder, will this happen? I wonder, will that happen? It's a hope like that. Do you know what our hope is? Our hope is complete. Our hope is complete. Jesus said that he was the hope of the world. When the Father sent him, can I encourage you with a simple truth this morning? When the Father sent him, he said, I want you to be the hope of the world. Do you think when he sent him that he was putting that out there to say, I really hope he becomes the hope of the world? No. He was declaring it for the heavens to hear it, for the world to hear it, for the people to hear it, for the demons to hear it, for the enemy to hear it. He is the hope of the world. That's what he will be. When Jesus left, what did he say to us? You will become like me. You will do similar things like me. So you become the hope of the world. Do you know what really gets us beat up? Is when we start to believe the other, that I'm just like everybody else, that everything about my hope is based on what I see or what I hear or the outcomes that come. No, your hope is complete. Whenever we get disillusioned, whenever we get anxious, think about Jesus. Think about what he has done in our lives, because he is our hope. When we had no hope, he put hope inside of us through the Holy Spirit. When we walk through the trials of life, when we go through the dark valleys, when we go through the dark seasons, we say, do you know what? I abound in hope no matter what I see. I abound in hope no matter what I feel. I abound in hope no matter what is going on around me. And why do we have to speak it out? Because our words are powerful. And sometimes our words defeat our mind. Ever had it the other way around? Where your mind defeats your words? Where your mind defeats your actions? Where your mind defeats the way that you go and the places you go and the things that you say and the people that you're brave enough to share your faith with? Sometimes our words need to go the opposite way. And you say, hey, I am a child of God. I have not been forgotten. I am more than an overcomer. I am the hope of glory. I'm just like Jesus. His hope is inside of me. His love is inside of me. I have hope. I bring hope. I am a hope carrier. I abound in hope. I'm saturated in it. I'm saturated in his hope. There's no hopelessness in me at all. And any time that the enemy comes and he whispers anything different, remind yourself, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. I refuse to partner with it. I refuse to partner with that. I am just like Jesus. He has passed it on to me. He is inside of me. He is through me. My hope is complete. Does that make sense this morning? Your hope is complete. You're not waiting for something. You have a hope. You are hope because Jesus is inside of you. Jesus is with you. Let me give you a quick biblical definition of what hope is like. You could do it many different ways. I just put down one type. Biblical hope is a confident expectation that there's better even coming. It's a confident expectation in Jesus. It's a confident expectation that he is with me. It's a confident expectation that no matter what I face, I'm abounding in hope. It's a confident expectation that he will never leave me nor forsake me. It does not waver. It does not get pulled apart. It does not get disillusioned. It does not worry. It does not get affected by what anybody else says. And yet we know we live in a real world, and our mind wants to trip us up, and our thoughts want to take us captive, but we're to take our thoughts captive, not the other way around, because we are the hope of God. We are the hope of God in this world, and our hope is complete. Let me read that verse that we read just a moment earlier. I want to read it in the Passion Translation. I love the way they put it. This is what it says. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope. Think about that. The inspiration and fountain of hope. It's just automatically coming from him all the time. It's just automatically coming from him. For us, as believers in Christ, we're becoming more like Jesus all of the time, which means our hope is becoming more like his all of the time. We're just exuding hope. We're just popping it out everywhere. It's just flowing from our lives. We can't even help it. Fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. The most important part that we've read so far is the trusting in him as we believe. As we believe. If you need help to believe, remember, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. If you need help to believe, then ask the Lord to remind yourself of how wonderfully saved you are. When Thomas wasn't sure, what did he say? Show me the nail prints. Show me the in your hands, show me in your feet. Show me the mark in your side. And suddenly he's like, wow, all has been revealed. All is being revealed. Ask the Lord to reveal himself to you, because this is who you are in Christ as we trust him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life. Imagine that water park in Tenerife and the water just drowns you. That is the hope that we have. Surrounds your life with super abundance until you radiate with hope. Anybody radiating with hope, this is what the Lord has called us to do. Can I encourage you this morning that you simply have to let it flow? You don't have to work anything up. Can I encourage you this morning that we simply have to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, and as we do, we radiate with hope. You radiate with hope this morning. This is who we are in Christ. Couple of quick things to share this morning on that. He's filling us to overflowing with joy and with perfect peace. Ask the Lord to give you that on a daily basis. Ask the Lord to remind you, this is what you have. I have perfect peace. I have incredible joy. He has overflows me. What are we doing to ourselves? We're speaking faith into our lives at those moments. What are we doing as we read the scripture? We're defeating our mind that says, that's not who I am. What are we doing in these moments? We're reminding the enemy of the lies that he has tried to share with us, and it's not the truth. And we will stand for the truth and nothing but the truth, because we know that we are called and anointed of God. We know that we abound in hope. We overflow in hope with superabundant hope. Second part, the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He has come to be a wonderful friend to you. He's come to be a wonderful partner to you. He's come to be a wonderful truth bearer to you. If you're struggling to read the word, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. If you're struggling to understand things, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. If you're not satisfied with the character traits that you have or the attitudes that you display sometimes, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you're not satisfied by your faulty thinking, ask the Holy Spirit to change your thinking. You see, there's nothing inside of us that can't be changed, because the Lord promises, I'm taking you from glory to glory. I'm taking you from glory to glory. Now, how do we activate every promise of God? By faith. I trust you, God. I don't feel it, but I trust you. God, I don't feel like I radiate hope today. I just want to go back to bed, but I trust you. I trust you, Lord. You see, again, we're going to get confused that my hope only is sorted when everything's really good in my life. That's nonsense. Your hope is complete. Your hope is Jesus. Your hope works even when you're in chaos. Your hope functions all the more even when you're in chaos. He never fails you. He's always there with you. God is with you. Activate and step into every promise of God by faith. By faith. Enable him to help you. Let me read another last verse this morning. I want to share a quick story, and then we're going to be done, because God is good. This is what it says, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Let me set out what's happening here. Paul is this incredible guy in the Bible. He has done incredible things. He's going to continue to do incredible things. He has a wonderful transformation in his life. He's went from a terrible person to an amazing person in Christ. He is seeing multitudes saved. He is working through God. God is working through him. And miracle after miracle is taking place in his life. But he comes to this portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he asks God something. He says, God, there's a thorn in my flesh. Now, we're not sure what that thorn is. We could deliberate on that all day. We're not sure what it is. But it was something that was uncomfortable. It was something that was continuously, it could have held him back, but we'll learn that it didn't. It was something that was always there, and he kept asking God, set me free from this thing. He prayed. It says just before the portion we're going to read in a moment, it says he prayed three times, Lord, set me free from this thing. Take this thing away from me. And then this is what the Lord spoke to him, because again, the Lord's trying to show him something that he doesn't quite understand yet. He wants to do the same for us this morning. But he said to me, the Lord's speaking, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, and no matter what season you are in, we've got to know that. Our goal is not to get to perfect seasons. Our goal is to realize how good his grace is. And when we do that, it's sufficient for every season. That is the goal of our lives, because the Lord knows we live in a broken world, not heaven yet. For my power is made perfect in weakness. As we're weak, he makes us strong. Simple principle, but we've got to know this over and over and over again. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let me read that last part again. I don't even think it makes sense. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Makes perfect sense. But it's totally different to what we've been taught in school or taught in life or taught from anybody else around us. Because our circumstances and our hope is based on how things pan out. Do you have a good day today? Yeah, everything went well. Not for us as a believer. Did we have a good day today? Of course. Goodness and mercy are after me. I can't get rid of them. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what I face, he is with me. He has died for me. He has set me free. I am an overcomer in all seasons. Even when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, even when I'm in the lion's den, he will shut the lion's mouth. He is with me. Do we want great days? Of course. But as believers in Christ, our hope abounds everywhere. Our question should be, Lord, I wonder why you've got me here. I wonder what's going to happen here. I wonder what you're going to do in this place, whether it be a prison, whether it be in a pit, whether it be in a palace, whether it be in your workplace. I wonder what you're going to do today. Do not allow ourselves to blend. Everybody wants to blend. You are unique. Stand out in your workplace. Stand out in your family. Stand out at the side of the road, wherever you find yourself. Stand out in Tesco, Sainsbury's, wherever. Stand out. and allow the Lord to work through you. And don't do that silly thing that we tend to do sometimes. If it all works out today, I'll share my faith. You know, I'm not feeling good today, but if I feel better tomorrow, I'm going to do it. You know? No, you are radiating in hope. And in fact, whenever you're weak, he makes me strong. So what am I going to do? I'm going to delight. I'm going to delight in weakness, delight in insults, delight in hardships, delight in persecutions, delight in difficulties. For when I am weak, he makes me strong. What do we do instead? Let me read it what we do. This is not God's word. This is our word. I groan and moan in weaknesses. I get mad in insults. I get really mad with hardships. I don't like it when persecutions come. And I'm just grumbling and complaining all the time in persecution. God says this morning, no, don't fall into the trap of everybody else. Don't fall into the trap of everybody else. He is with you. You have hope that abounds. You have hope that radiates. You have hope that transforms this morning. I'm going to finish off with one more story, and then we'll finish off with a thought on that. A few weeks ago, Nikki and I went to London. We had a great time over there, great week, all went swimmingly, everything went well. We went to this conference thing, we were helping out a tiny bit at the conference, and then right at the end of the conference, after we spent a few days with a couple of leaders, we had to do this kind of seminar part. So we did a seminar, and then afterwards we knew that we had to leave pretty sharpish because we're getting the train, the plane, to get back home, to get our car, to come back home that night. We had Aria with us. So everything's going really well. You know what I mean? Hope is working good, radiating really well. You know, everyone's good. And then we get to the end of it, and we got to go, and we're kind of saying goodbye and everyone else. First problem, get to the train is delayed, got to wait for the next one. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this train better hurry up. Not going to say anything because it's all good. So it's all okay at the moment. So we get the next train and I'm starting to think, wow, this time is moving. And so we get onto the train, we've got to swap a couple of trains, get on the final train. And then it suddenly dawns on me, I think I may have read the times a slight bit wrong. I think I've less than an hour than I thought. And so now I'm on the train. And as a good programmer, you think through every scenario because you realize if you can think through every scenario, you might just get the solution. And at this point, I'm not saying too much to Aria, she won't understand it. I'm definitely not saying too much to Nikki because, you know, I'm trying to be perfect. I'm trying to be good. Everything flows from me. Holy Spirit blessing, dwelling, everything. You know what I mean? It's all miracles, signs, and wonders. And so I work it out, and I get to this sinking feeling of, I've got a plan. It's got a very slim chance of taking place. The plan is, I've got 2 minutes from the train stops to get to the check-in desk. And if that doesn't happen, it's all going to go down the tubes. And so this is my plan, but I'm going to make it. And so I get to the thing, and I'm running. And so, and again, in the back of my mind, I've got another plan, which is, if I don't make it to the drop-off point with the bag, I'll still make it to the gate. If beside the gate, I'm pretty sure there's like a baggage company that will post my bag home. I'm going to dump it there quickly. I'm going to run for the gate. We will get on the plane, and the bag will come a couple of days later. See, that's what a programmer does. You figure it all out, and you're figuring it out in your head. Didn't go like that. So I get to the drop-off point. The guy says to me, you just missed it. I was like, what? What do you mean you just missed it? He says, 30 seconds. I was like, no, press the button, let it go through. He says, no, it's not happening. So I have no time to argue because the time is ticking. I've got less than 30, I've got 29 minutes now to get to the gate before the plane goes. And Nikki's running frantically behind and she's starting to figure out this thing's not going well. So I run around the corner, I drop off the bag. I say to the girl, take the bag quickly. She says, okay, take the bag. It's 12 pounds for 24 hours. So I'm thinking that's a win because I will get one of the guys to post that home for me. It's going to be fine. We're going to make the gate. The bit that I didn't think of and the bit that I didn't bargain on. I've got a baby. She's got the pushchair, trolley thing, pram thing. You've got to go through multiple lifts, these blinking lifts. So we get to the first lift that goes up and down, get the second lift up and down, up and down. We're still going for it. And I get to the gate. And you know when you get that relief, like, we made it to the gate. It's going to be amazing. And then I look around and there's nobody at the gate. Everybody's on the plane. And I go to the girl, and, you know, it doesn't get any nicer. There's no reasoning with them. They're not from back home. You know, you could talk people around here. You can't talk anybody around over there. So we get to the gate, and I said to the girl, I says, hey, we've got a baby. We're looking to get on the plane. I can see it's still open. She goes, no, sir, sorry, we've closed it early tonight. I was like, what? You closed it early for me? I was like, that's amazing. I was like, can you open it? She says, no, once the button is pressed, there is no way back. I was like, wow. I was feeling like hope, like to the floor. Hope was gone. Hope was gone. Can I encourage you this morning that you're going to find yourself in difficult situations where you're going to ask yourself, how did I get here? And then inside your head, you're going to go, I know, stupid. I made bad decision after bad decision. I made miscalculations after miscalculations. It was my own fault. And I got to that place and I started to say, Lord, where are you? Where are you? Now, if you've ever been in that position, please, Lord, never get in that position. It's not good. But now you've got to make yourself way out of the airport the wrong way around, which doesn't work. They don't let you do that. So we get back to the main kind of area where the shops are, and you're sitting there going, oh my goodness, what an idiot am I. What an idiot. And so I start to think all these things again because I'm trying to get back into programming mode. I'll book this hotel. I'll get another flight this way. Nothing is working. Everything's at a loss. And then you've got two decisions. You've got a big decision to make at that point. What will I do next? Am I going to blame everybody around me? Am I going to blame God for this? I'm going to do what? Or I'm going to blame myself? Who am I going to blame? Or am I going to push into God and say, God, help me. I've got a thorn in the flesh. God, help me. I'm going through a difficult season. Lord, help me. Could you make me strong? And here's what I want to encourage you. Right in the midst of that airport, I started to radiate with hope. I started to. My mind hadn't caught up quite yet, but I started asking. I started to pray. I just started getting up. I was just like praying. I was like getting away from Nikki and the baby. But I started to pray, and I was just like, Lord, help me quick. You know, and I started to pray, and I started to press into him because here's what I found. He never fails me. He never fails me. And even in a horrible situation like that, you know what he was doing? He was making me stronger. He was making me stronger. And you know what I had to learn to do? Give up control. I had to surrender control. Do you know what Paul learned to do? And it's what we need to learn to do. We've all got thorns in our flesh. There's all days where things don't work out well. There's all things that don't go to plan, don't work out the way we hope for. Because in our lives, what we're trying to do all of the time, if you're like me, is control, control, control. If everything just works out well here, if it all just pans out there, everything's going to be good. I'm going to abound in hope and I'll share my faith everywhere. What I find is that is not the case. I am barely in control, and the moment that I lose control, everything disappears. Everything falls apart. This morning, when you lose control, it's amazing if you surrender to Jesus. Paul decided that I will not allow the expectation of this thorn being removed or not removed to spoil my mission. Paul refused to not allow the hurt or the pain of this thorn to get in the way of his mission. He said, in spite of all of that, I'm still going to do exploits for the kingdom of God. Can I encourage you this morning, in spite of all that's going wrong in your life, in spite of all the things that are happening in your life, in spite of all the things that will happen in your life, because we live in a fallen world, you still radiate with hope because your hope is complete. You don't need anything to happen for your hope to come through. Jesus has already done it. You have been won by the highest price. You have been won by the King of Kings. Heaven was poured out for you, and by your stripes, you're already healed. By your stripes. What are we hoping for? We are hoping in the security and the peace of our eternity. It is secure. It is taken care of. And even when you find yourself in an airport after making bad decision after bad decision and you finally admit you were wrong, sometimes you have to do that, you're still radiating with hope. Because in my weakness, he makes me strong. Do you know what I'm turning around and saying now with, thank the Lord, benefit of hindsight and he's worked in my heart? I now delight in what happened then because he taught me something that I needed to learn, which is, I'm not perfect. I'm not always in control. It's okay to mess up, but as long as it drives me to him, I will not make excuses. I will not have wrong expectations. I will trust in him alone, and I will boast in him for everything. I'll boast in him for everything. Let me finish off with one more thing. Can we stand together? I want to read this over our hearts. Maybe you're feeling this morning that there's a blockage in the system. Maybe you're saying to yourself, okay, that's fair enough because, okay, I abound in hope. There's hope flowing through me, but it feels like there's a blockage in the system. Can I even give you hope in that? If you've ever seen water trying to be held back, if the source keeps coming, eventually that blockage is coming out. And when it comes out, the pressure is so enormous, it will go like it never did before. So even if you're facing a blockage, know that God is still good and something's going to shift and something's going to move. He is with you. He is for you. Final thought this morning. We said last week that Jesus was a well who sat on a well. He came to the well. He met the woman at the well. He sat down there and then he said to her, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink and you would never thirst again. Can I encourage you this morning, because of the radiant hope that is inside of you, because of the radiant hope that is trying to get out of you, because of the life of the Spirit that lives inside of you, you have now become a well as well. You've become a well as well. That sounds ridiculous, but you have. You are a well. You are a well. And even when you don't feel like it, remind yourself, wells don't have feelings if you need to, but it's okay. You're still a well because the source will not stop. The source keeps on coming. What really is a well anyway? If the typical picture is a bit of a brick wall, a bit of a canopy or something above it, maybe a bucket on a rope and you drop it down and you pick it up. But that's not what a well is. A well is the water in the well. Because you could have all of that stuff, but without the water, you've got absolutely nothing. We said last week the Samaritans had a form of godliness, but they had no godliness because they didn't have the well living inside of them. Because when the lady met the well, she was like, I need you. She didn't have the well. She didn't have it. Can I encourage you this morning that you are a well, even when you don't feel like it? Because it's not really about your exterior. It's not even really how good you look or the thoughts that you have or even the things you say. It's not even really about that, although that definitely helps. There's something greater inside of you which is the true source, which makes you the well. And if you can just allow that well to move, if you can just allow the Holy Spirit to move through you, you will satisfy needs. You will see people's lives restored. Did you know that so many people in the world today die because of lack of water? It's one of the biggest killers in the whole world because they just can't get the good, healthy drinking water. How many people are dying in a lost eternity because they're not getting to you, who is a well, and they need a drink from your well because the Holy Spirit is inside of you? Don't get discouraged. Don't get held back by the lies of the enemy. You are a well because he says so, not because the enemy says so. That is who you are. There is a life source inside of you that wants to flow. You radiate with hope. Amen? Amen. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I pray this morning for anyone who feels that there's a blockage in the system. I pray this morning, Lord, that they would know that a good Father, a good God already knows about that. And if we would surrender it to you, he would allow us to flow anyway. Maybe we're here this morning, Lord, and we feel that we have a blockage, but the Lord wants to remind us that it's simply a thorn in the flesh like Paul, but we've turned it into a blockage. What we need to do is put that to the side and say, Lord, you're going to work anyway. You're going to work anyway because your source cannot be stopped. You are the true water and you work through me. And so even when I'm sleeping, I'm still testifying of the goodness of God because you've given me good rest. Even in my workplace, even if I say nothing, I will automatically testify of the goodness of God by the fruits that are displayed through me, by the peace that is on me, by the presence that surrounds me. But Lord, what does it look like when a Christian realizes the well source that's inside of them and they decide to shine bright like a lighthouse? They decide to stand tall like that well and they say, come, be satisfied. Come find what I have. Come, let me connect you. Come, let me share it with you. Lord, if we need a top up this morning, if we need a top up today, would you just rain that down from heaven this morning? Because Christ, you're enough. Because Christ, you're all that we need. Because Jesus, you are my everything. We love you, Jesus. So I ask you to come, Lord. Continue to move and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship him this morning.
See, Christ is my ruler.